हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम सदाशिवसमारंभम् व्यासशंकरमध्यमम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्परा श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं पादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ ईशावास्यम् ईशावास्यम् इदगुं सर्वम् इदगुं सर्वम् यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः। मा गृधः कस्य स्विद्धनम् मा गृधः कस्य स्विद्धनम्।
This is how we'll be chanting. Before I used to break, now we won't break.
Kurvanneveha karmani Kurvanneveha karmani Jiji vishechhatagum samaha Jiji vishechhatagum samaha Evam tvai Evam tvai Nanyathetosti नान्यथेतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते न रे
न कर्म लिप्यते न रे।
असूयानाम ते लोकाः
असूयानाम ते लोकाः
अन्धेन तमसा वृताः
अन्धेन तमसा
वृताः। तागुंस्ते
तागुंस्ते
प्रेत्याभिगच्छन्ति
प्रेत्याभिगच्छन्ति।
ये चे एके
एके च
आत्मनोजनाः
आत्महनः से आत्म से आत्महनः सिंगल इज आत्महा जनः आत्महा जनः। द पर्सन हू स्लेज किल्स हिमसेल्फ इज आत्महा जनः। आत्महनः जनाः people, those who kill themselves, and who are said to be Atmahanaha Janaha, who are the people who are said to be slayers, ruiners, destroyers of themselves, ignorant people. People who do not make any effort to know their real nature, who continue to remain ignorant, who do not know the problem caused by ignorance, are the people who are deprived of enjoying the benefit of their real nature. So such people are said to be Atmahanaha Janaha. And those people, after leaving this physical body, they assume again those bodies of the ignorant people. Again they continue to be ignorant, assuming another body. Always remaining engrossed in enjoyment of pleasures and pains. So their eye of knowledge is covered by the darkness of ignorance. So what is the lesson from this third mantra? I said already, the third mantra, by way of condemning ignorance and the ignorant person, indirectly it presents the glory of knowledge. So we don't need to be the Atmahanaha Janaha. We don't need to destroy ourselves. We can protect ourselves. For which we need to discover our real nature. That's all. That's the lesson here. Okay, we go to that last bit where we saw the reading yesterday. In page number 45, I am reading the Bhashyam. Avidya Doshena Vidyamanasya Atmanaha Tiraskaranat Vidyamanasya Atmanaha Yatkaryam Phalam Ajara Amaratvadi Ajaramaratvadi Ajara Amaratvadi Ajaramaratvadi Samvedana Lakshanam. Tadhadasyeva Tirobhutam Bhavati Iti Prakrita Vidvamsaha Janaha Atmanaha Uchyante Tena Hyatmahanana Doshena Samsarantite. Samsarantite. See, te samsaranti means, no, samsaranti means they continue to migrate from one mother's womb to another mother's womb, repeatedly being subject to birth and death. Samsaranti is a verb. One verb, what does it come to say it in English? Samsaranti is a simple third person present tense plural verb. What should we say? தே சம்சரந்தி, தோஸ் பீப்புள் ரிப்பீட்டட்லி கண்டின்யூ டு மைக்ரேட் ஃப்ரம் ஒன் மதர்ஸ் ஹோம் டு அனதர் மதர்ஸ் ஹோம், அஸ்யூமிங் டிஃபரண்ட் பாடிஸ், பீங் சப்ஜெக்ட் டு பர்த் அண்ட் டெத். This is the explanation of that one verb. Okay? Samsaranti. And who are those people who transmigrate like that, who become subject to birth and death continuously? And those are the people who set to be the destroyers of themselves. Atmahana Uchyante. Uchyante, they are the people set to be. Why they are set to be? Because prakrita avidvamsaha. Prakrita means immature, unrefined, ignorant people. Why? Because even though their real nature is agelessness, their real nature is deathlessness, their real nature is birthlessness, not timelessness, freedom, happiness, fullness, still, like how a rich person who does not know himself being rich lives a beggar's life. Ignorant people also, who even though the real nature is fullness, happiness, but they also do not enjoy the benefit of their real nature because of their being ignorant of their real nature. Therefore, they are said to be as good as dead people, as good as destroyers of themselves. Okay? Yes, you asked the question. I'll stop today. I'll continue again. I know, again, I'm sparing time for that. Okay. We'll go to next line. Yasya Atmanaha.
Yasya Atmanaha.
ஹனநாத் அவித்வம்சஹ சம்சரந்தி தத் விபர்யயேன வித்வம்சஹ ஜனாஹ முச்யந்தே தே நாத்மஹனஹ. தத் கீதம் ஆத்மதத்துவம் இத்யுச்யதே. நவ் திஸ் இஸ் அன் இன்ட்ரோடக்ஷன் டு தி நெக்ஸ்ட் மந்திரா, ஃபோர்த் மந்திரா. அண்ட் ஃபோர்த் மந்திரா ஆன்வர்ட்ஸ் அண்டில் த எயிட் மந்திரா, தி ஃபைவ் மந்திராஸ் ஆர் இம்பார்ட்டன்ட் மந்திராஸ். பிகாஸ் ஆல் தீஸ் மந்திராஸ் your real nature is unfolded. Atma Swarupam, the essential nature of every individual, what every individual is absolutely essentially, that is being analyzed in these five verses, five mantras. Okay, five mantras from the fifth to the eighth. Even though the sixth mantra, the previous mantra also is included here, that mantra only introduces the glory of the knowledge. What is that? So, what is that knowledge of the self which helps one enjoy the benefit of one's real nature? What is that nature of oneself which is, which should be discovered so that which can be enjoyed? What is the nature of an individual? What is the essential nature of one's own self which can be discovered and which can be enjoyed? That is going to be discussed here. So, yasya atmanaha hananat. By not knowing which self, not knowing the self is as good as destroying oneself. We already understood. By destroying which self, by not knowing which self, avidvamsaha, ignorant people, samsaranti, continue to remain in samsara. They become the victims of this beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. Tat viparyayena, okay, conversely, diagonally opposite to the ignorant people, differently, vidvamsaha janaha mochyante. See, avidvamsaha, ignorant people. Remove the a, vidvamsaha, wise people. People who have the knowledge of the self, vidvamsaha. Avidvamsaha, ignorant people. So, avidvamsaha, ignorant people suffer. They become subject to this problem of birth and death, samsara. Whereas avidvamsaha muchyante, they get freed, they become liberated from this bondage of karma, from this cycle of births and deaths. So jnanam liberates, ignorance binds. What is bondage? Esther explained to you what is karma bandha. What is bondage of karma? Yesterday explained. So, not being able to get out of this beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, being subject to birth and death, in between birth and death, being subject to go through these paths of opposites, is samsara, is bondage. So ignorant people are helpless. There is no way of getting rid of, coming out of this cycle of births and deaths, which is called a bondage. That's why it's called a bondage. There's no freedom for you. Whereas vidvamsaha muchyante, wise people are liberated. Wise people become free from this bondage of karma. Te na atmahanaha. Wise people are not the destroyers of themselves. A wise person does not destroy himself. Ignorant person alone destroys himself. Therefore, na atmahanaha. Not destroyers of the self. Who? Vidvamsaha. Wise people. Tat, okay, tat kidrisham atma tattvam. What is that truth implied by this self, atma? Atma tattvam kidrisham. What is the, what sort of the truth is it? What sort of Atma Tattvam is it? What type of Atma Tattvam is it? Kidrisham Atma Tattvam. Atma, say, means Atma Tattvam. Tattvam means the truth. What is the truth, the absolute reality, ultimate truth implied by the term Atma, obtaining as truth of an individual, as one's own self? Okay? What is the nature of the truth? What sort of truth, Atma Tattvam, is it? It is said here, iti uchyate, where in these following verses. So before I enter into this verse, have you ever heard the word Hiranyagarbha before?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. I want to make sure. See, when we understand this whole cosmos as manifestation of knowledge, the entire objective universe, the entire gross manifestation, be looked upon as the manifestation of knowledge. It is looked upon as the manifestation of the Lord. Okay, in fact, manifestation of knowledge is given, the manifest knowledge is given the title Ishvara, the Lord. Lord is a title attributed to the manifest knowledge. The source of manifestation alone is implied by the term Brahma or Atma. When do you call the reality Brahma? When do you call the reality Ishvara, the Lord? We use two different words, no? The absolute reality is implied by the term Brahma. The same reality looked at as in truth of an individual is implied by the term Atma. Same reality, two different name and words. And the manifestation of reality is manifestation of knowledge is given the name Ishvara. So source of knowledge is known by the term, implied by the term Brahma. Manifest knowledge is given the name Ishvara. So the whole cosmos is manifestation of knowledge, without which the universe will cannot shine. It would have been as good as non-existent. Like how all the opaque things here are reflections of only light. So when the gross universe being looked upon as the manifestation of knowledge is given a different name, the Lord being looked upon as the manifest gross universe is given the name Virat. You would have heard the name. And the total subtle manifestation, when look at the subtle universe also as manifestation of the Lord, the knowledge, is given a different name, Hiranyagarbha. See, when you understand the entire gross universe, what is gross universe? The perceptible world of objects. All the objects which are perceptible through five different senses. Objects seen, visible objects, audible sounds, the smells which can be smelled, the objects of taste and touch. So the entire objective perceptible universe, the gross manifestation, gross universe, is also manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, the gross universe is looked upon as manifestation of Ishvara, the Lord. When you look at the whole universe as Ishvara, we give a name to the Lord, Sanskritam, Virat. Vividham Rajate iti Virat. I don't need to tell all these things here, but I'm telling because the word Hiranyagarbha comes here. That's why. So Virat means we do not look at the gross universe as a gross material universe. A scientist looks at this universe as gross matter, inert matter, or he can say even energy. But Vedanta looks at everything as Ishvara, the Lord. Why? Everything here, what shines is manifestation of knowledge. Very. How this mic is reflection of light. This table is reflection of light. This wall is reflection of light. This window is reflection of light. All our faces are reflections of light. All our physical bodies are reflections of light. Because anything and everything which is seen through physical eyes is nothing but reflection of light. Okay, so reflections of the only light. Similarly, this varieties of innumerable countless forms here, which constitute this entire gross universe, is also manifestations of the only truth, manifestations of knowledge, manifestations of consciousness. So the whole universe, when it's looked upon as the understood as manifestation of knowledge, we look at it as manifestation of Ishwaraha, the Lord. Then the name is what? Virat. So we do not look at the gross universe as gross universe. What is gross universe? Bhagavan. Virat. Similarly, there is the entire subtle manifestation. Also, subtle universe also is manifestation of knowledge. When you look at the subtle universe as manifestation of knowledge, subtle universe also is manifestation of Ishvara. You give a different name, Hiranyagarbha. In Vedant, in Upanishadic language, Hiranyagarbha. In Puranic language, four-headed Brahma. In Upanishadic language, Virat. In Puranic language, Shankha Chakra Gadadari Mahavishnu. And the universe, unmanifest also is what? Unmanifest universe. What is unmanifest universe? The universe which is not available for experience, interaction, transaction, that universe is unmanifest universe. In deep sleep state, universe exists, universe is, but universe is not available for transaction, interaction. So non-transactable, non-interactable world is said to be unmanifest universe. So universe is always there, doesn't go anywhere. Okay, but there is a time universe is available for transaction. There is a time universe is not available for transaction, interaction, perception, experience, enjoyment. When the universe is not available for transaction, interaction, perception, objectification, experience or enjoyment, the universe is unmanifest universe. Whether the universe is manifest or unmanifest, whether it is available for transaction or not, where does the universe exist? Always it exists only in knowledge. Unmanifest universe also enjoys its existence in reality, consciousness. Manifest universe also enjoys its existence in reality, the consciousness. Whether there is stillness of water or whether waves of water, where does the stillness exist? Stillness also does not exist independently outside of water. Waves also do not exist outside of the water. Is it clear? Stillness undergoes a change, waves come. Again, waves all go back, resolve, stillness comes. Not in the ocean. ocean, there's no stillness at all. Okay, I'm talking about some pond or something, imagine. Isn't it? So whether stillness is there or waves are there. Can there be stillness of water without the water? No. Can there be waves outside of the water? No. Whether waves are there, stillness is there. Always stillness or waves, not outside of the water, not independent of the water. Isn't it? You cannot talk about stillness of water outside of the water. You cannot talk about the waves of water outside of the water. For waves and stillness, water is the only locus, only substratum, only the truth. Something called stillness cannot exist independently without the water. Okay, stillness of water. Something called waves also cannot exist independently outside of the water. The water is the truth in which stillness enjoys existence, waves enjoy existence. Is it clear? Similarly, therefore, water is the truth of stillness and waves. Similarly, don't stretch the example, okay? Just leave it. Come to it. Examples should not be stretched too much. Understand that little bit. Come to it. Come to this actual teaching. The gross manifest universe enjoys its existence in reality, which is looked upon as the Lord Virat. Subtle universe also enjoys its existence in reality, Hiranyagarbha. When the universe is unmanifest also doesn't enjoy its existence outside of the reality. Therefore, the unmanifest universe also is the Lord. Manifest subtle universe also is the Lord. Manifest gross universe also is the Lord. Okay? There is gross manifestation, subtle manifestation, and there is unmanifest universe. So when you look at the unmanifest universe as the Lord, give a different name. Antaryamishwaraha. Antaryami or Ishwaraha. Is it clear now? Three different names or functional names of only Bhagavan. Bhagavan, Ishwaraha, Paramatma, Lord for us is the truth. The Lord, truth alone, when it's manifest in the universe, is given the title, Ishwara title. We get three different functional names. Virat, Hiranyagarbha, Antaryamishwaraha. And these three names alone, the only Lord, with functional names personified in Puranas, are known as what? Vishnu, Brahma, Shivaha. Okay, Vishnu, Brahma, Shivaha are respectively Virat, Hiranyagarbha, Antaryamishwaraha. Okay, this is not part of Ishavasya teaching. I just wanted to clarify a few things. I am supposed to unfold the meaning of the mantras where Atma Swarupam, nature of reality, is discussed. What Upanishads say, we have to understand how the reality is. What the reality is, we have to discover. And that reality happens to be the truth of one's own self. The meaning of the word I. For all the words, meanings are outside. Even for the words, சென்ஸ் ஆர்கன், மைண்ட், தாட், ஈவன் ஃபார் சச் வேர்ட்ஸ் பாடி, யூனோ ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ் ஆர் வெரி க்ளோஸ் பட் ஸ்டில் தேர் ஆல் ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ் ஆஃப் நாலேஜ். இட்ஸ் ஒன்லி ஒன் வேர்ட் ஃபார் விச் தேர் இஸ் த மீனிங் ஆஃப் விச் இஸ் நாட் அன் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் ஆஃப் நாலேஜ். Meaning of the word I. What is this I? Is not an object of knowledge. So it is not available for objectification or perception or experience or for enjoyment. How can we understand? Because truth is the subtlest. There is nothing which is subtler than the reality. Because it is subtlest reality, reality cannot be perceived, is not available for sense perception like light or sound or form, any other form. It is not available for thought perception like headache. You don't see headache, don't smell headache, don't hear headache, don't taste headache. But how do you know headache is there? Headache or any ache, you know. So it's available for thought perception. Okay? So things are available for sense perception, subtle things are available for thought perception. But reality implied by the term Atma is not available for sense perception. Not available for thought perception also, because it is imperceptible, apramaya. So it is not available for thought conception also. You can conceive, if I say, you can conceive sometimes, not available for perception, not available for thought conception also. You can't conceive. It's not available for word description also. Words cannot describe Atma. So sense organs cannot perceive Atma. The mind cannot conceive Atma. If it is not available for sense perception, word description, thought conception, how can we know Atma? Okay, very important. Atma, the reality implied by the term Atma, has to be understood only in terms of its nature. Swarupenaiva avagantavyam vastu. It has to be understood only in terms of its nature. Nature is swarupam, how it is. That is why first the Shastram uses the prakriya called drik, drishya viveka prakriya. Prakriya means method. The method of analyzing the self, method of distinguishing the self from the non-self. The method of distinguishing the self from the non-self is subject-object analysis. The method of distinguishing the self from the non-self is subject-object analysis. And it's called drishya viveka prakriya. Why should we distinguish the self from the non-self? Because the truth is the self of everything. Truth is the innermost essence of everything. And truth is all pervasive, and this truth which is all pervasive, which is the self of every being, innermost essence of every being, has to be arrived at only as one's own self. Therefore, now we do not know what is non-self, what is self. Because of this ignorance, we mistake the non-self for the self. There is no distance between self and the non-self. Therefore, the method is taught by the scripture. The method of distinguishing the self from the non-self will help us distinguish. Once you distinguish the self and what that self is, after distinguishing, you can see how that self is, what that self is, what its nature is. First distinguish, then understand the nature of the self. Before distinguishing, how can you know the nature? You have to first of all distinguish. To distinguish means you understand what the self is not, thereby you understand what the self is. After distinguishing, you will say what its nature is. Is it clear? So we say anything and everything known is an object of knowledge. Anything known is object of knowledge. What is far away from you is object of knowledge, which is indicated by the pronoun that. When it comes closer, use the pronoun this. Is it? That is window, that is wall, that is table, that is chair. So you say what? Who are you with reference to any object? You say, I am the knower. I, the self, am the knower. And anything known is object of my knowledge. So I, the knower, am distinct, different from the known. Okay? You say something fine. When it comes very close, I say, that is chair, that is fan. This is mic. This is mic. This is table. This is my dress. This is my dress. Now from here, therefore I am the knower. This dress is known to me. I, the knower, am different, distinct from the known dress. Similarly, the body also. This is the body. And this body is also, I say, this is the body. This body also is object of my knowledge. Because body is known to me. Therefore, I, the knower, am distinct from the known body also. Therefore, anything known is non-self. An object of knowledge is non-self. What is the word we use? Anatma. Body is anatma. Now, not only the things external to the body are anatma, the physical body itself is anatma. Physical body is anatma, non-self. Why? It is known to me. It is object of my knowledge. See, even now it must become very clear. So, I am the knower. I, the knower, am distinct. Until here I was saying I am distinct and different from the known. Now I have to say I am non-different. Okay? I am distinct from the body, but not distant. I am distinct from the body, but not distant. There is no distance between I, the knower, am, and the known body. There's no distance, but I'm distinct, but not distant. Now, after this, not only this physical body, sthula shariram, in kinder, in basic book, Vedanta book, that Vedanta manual, you all would have understood, sthula sukshma karana shariraad vyatirittaha. Remember that now? So, sthula shariraad vyatirittaha. Now, what is there now? Next, not only this physical body, inside this physical body, we have many subtle aspects. Why do we say subtle aspects? This is a gross body. Subtle aspects are those which are perceptible like the gross body. Gross body is called gross body because it is available for perception. Whereas sense powers, subtle powers which indwell the gross body are not available for sense perception. So we have subtle aspects. First we say powers, five subtle powers. A power shaktihi is otherwise called indriyam. Indriyam means shakti. So we have five subtle powers of organs of knowledge, sense organs, seeing power, hearing power, power of smelling, taste, touch, etc. All those powers are also objects of knowledge. Because your seeing power is known to you, your hearing power is known to you. You know whether you can see, you do not see. All your subtle powers are known to you. Therefore, subtle powers are also objects of knowledge. Which means you can say, I, the knower, am distinct from the known sense powers known as jnana indriyani. We also have five powers of organs of actions. In your hands, you only see the physical hands. Actually speaking, the subtle power is indriyam. And the physical part where this indriyam obtains is called golakam. This is golakam. The power is indriyam. Your ears, eardrum is golakam. Because it's a part of the physical body. But the power obtains is what? Indriyam. You have to distinguish this just the power of hearing, power of seeing from its physical part, the locus, physical locus where it obtains. So physical part is golakam, power is indriyam. Okay. Now five sense powers, they're all objects of knowledge. Now five powers of organs of actions. Your hands or organ of activity. You do lot of actions, activity with your hands. So here you have subtle power. We do not see the power through physical eyes. You can see your fingers and hands through physical eyes. No? But you can't see the power through physical eyes. That is why power is called subtle. Sukshma shaktihi. Sukshma shaktihi. Sukshmam indriyam. So like hands, you have power, and legs, you have power. You have an organ of speech, you are able to speak before because of some power, there is a power. And a reproductive organ can be active because of the power. Similarly, excretory organ also has a power. So all these five powers are powers of organs of actions called karma indriyani. Karma indriyani. So how many now? 10. 10 subtle powers. Now similarly we have 5. There is only one vital air which you cannot see through physical eyes, but you can understand that air being manifest. One vital air is involved in 5 different functions. And each, based on each power, it's given a different name also. Pranaha governs the respiratory system. Apanaha governs the excretory system. Vyanaha governs the circulatory system. Samanaha governs the digestive system. Udanaha governs the retentive system. So, five physiological functions. One vitala governing five different functions, five different systems, is given five different functional names as pranaha, apanaha, vyanaha, samanaha, udanaha. Now, totally 15. We have 15 aspects indwelling this gross physical body. Apart from them, we have much subtler internal instrument of knowledge called antahkaranam, which is otherwise called mind, manaha. This mind again is nothing but many thoughts put together form the mind. So this intellectual aspect of the mind called buddhi is the emotional aspect of the mind called manaha. Manaha and buddhi are two different names given to one antakaranam, the standpoint of the functional difference. So even our emotions are thoughts. Jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety, etc. are all thoughts. In what form do they obtain? In the form of thoughts only. Knowledge, perception, experience, enjoyment, enthusiasm, cheerfulness. In what form are they? All thoughts. Suppose this is orange color, this is yellow color. Knowledge, what is it? Knowledge is in the form of a thought. Knowledge of anything is in the form of a thought. The knowledge the world is in the form of a thought. Finally, one knowledge, knowledge of existence of your own self in terms of I am, that is also in the form of a thought. Okay? Knowledge of existence of one's own self obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am is also object of knowledge. All thoughts are objects of knowledge. All these thoughts which constitute the mind is object of knowledge. Mind is an object of knowledge. Mind is known to you. Your powers, physiological functions are known to you. Your sense powers are known to you. I am not elaborating on mind, okay? Your powers of organs of actions are known to you. These 17 aspects, you can say 16 is enough. We say 17 just to dividing mind into two as manaha and buddhi. You can't physically divide mind. Just understand. For the purpose of understanding, we say mind and intellect. The 17 aspects, subtle aspects, indwell the gross body, which cannot be perceived through sense organs. Because they indwell the gross body, all the 17 aspects together are given a name, subtle body or astral body. Please don't go and search for subtle body. Okay? There's no body, there's no form. Subtle body doesn't have a form. All these subtle aspects indwell the gross body, therefore they are given the name subtle body. And all these subtle aspects are also known to you. This physical body is said to be bhoga, ayatanam, an abode of enjoyment. Whereas all these subtle powers are said to be instruments of enjoyment, bhoga sadhanani. You have learnt it. Now everything is known to you, isn't it? Even mind is known to you. Where are you all now? Are you all present here? Are you all present here? Yes. Whose mind has gone out somewhere? Whose mind has gone out somewhere? Some mint? Okay. You mind, you know where your mind is. Your mind is here in the class, our mind goes somewhere else. Alright, now mind has come back. You are sitting here. But how do you know the mind goes somewhere, mind comes back here? How do you know? You know. Which means mind is also your object of knowledge. Mind is known to you. You know. Suppose if I ask you a question, if you don't answer, suddenly, sorry, I was physically present, my mind was somewhere. How do you know your mind was somewhere? You know. Which means mind also is object of your knowledge. Which means you are the knower. So you can say, I am the knower, I the knower am distinct from the known mind also. I the knower am distinct from known sense organs, organs of actions, physiological functions. I the knower am distinct from the known physical body. Now the question is, who am I? Who am I? Who this knower is? Okay? Who I am, the knower, that is very clear. That identity is correct. I am the knower is correct. I the knower am distinct from body, mind, sense complex is complete. If I am the knower, I the knower am who? Who am I the knower? Then you again take the mind, this another prakriya, avasthatraya prakriya. The mind, there are only three states of mind. There is no fourth state of mind. And each state of mind is what? Each state of mind is a state of experience. Waking state experience, dream experience, deep sleep state experience. And these experiences, states of mind, the states of experience are discontinuous. No state of experience is permanently sitting there changelessly. It is subject to change. It discontinues. The discontinuous and mutually exclusive. When the dream is, no deep sleep, no waking. When the waking is, no dream, no deep sleep state. Okay? In deep sleep state, there is no dream or no waking. Which means the states of mind or states of experience are discontinuous and mutually exclusive. And each state of mind is witnessed. And how do you know that states of mind are discontinuous? Because you are continuously there as the knower, witness of witnessing the states of mind being discontinuous and mutually exclusive. Isn't it? Therefore, as knower is continuously present, knower is continuously present. That is why we are able to recollect the past experience, the waking state. In waking state, on waking up from sleep or dream, you are able to recollect your experience. You can narrate your experience because you are there always. The one who obtains is the waker, the dreamer, the in sleep, one who is there, the experiencer is the same. Knower is the same. That experiencer, witness, sakshi, is distinct from sakshyam, the mind, witnessed mind. Who is this witness? Who is this sakshi? Who is this knower? Say that knower is reality, subtlest reality. Now you cannot deny the knower being there. Who denies the existence of knowing? Put up your hand. Who can deny the existence of knower? Who denies? Are you here? There is knower distinct from the known mind also, known dream experience, known waking experience, known deep sleep state experience. And the knower is the reality. And how do you, now you are stumbling upon the reality. People ask, why do you use the expression stumbling upon? Because without using any sense organ, without using any means of knowledge, this prakriya helps you arrive at the reality as the knower. Okay, now you arrive at the knower. You distinguish the knower from the known. Knower is not anything known. Knower is distinct from the known, and that knower is none other than the reality. How is it? I said, I think day before yesterday I said, the illuminator is the light. Isn't it? Illuminator is distinct from the illumined objects. And who is the illuminator? You have to say, if you negate everything as illumined, what cannot be negated as the illumined is the illuminator. And that illuminator is light. Similarly, the knower is the reality. Reality obtains in the form of knower. You arrive at the reality only in terms, only as the knower. And why does the reality know? Why does it know? Why does it know? Knowing is the swarupam, nature. Not an action, is the swarupam. Because the reality knows, because it is nature is knowing, it is implied by the term jnanam. Understand now why reality is implied by the term jnanam? Because knowing is the swarupam. And what about this word knower? Knower is a title given to, attributed to the reality from the standpoint of the known. Known mind, known thoughts, known state of experience, known state of mind, known sense organs, known world. Okay, from the standpoint of the known, knower status is attributed to the reality. Actually speaking, from the standpoint of reality, reality is not even the knower. No word can be used to indicate, denote, imply, explain reality. Now, first word, what do we use now? Jnanam. Why do we use the word jnanam? The word jnanam implies reality, reveals reality in terms of its nature of knowing. But how will you know unless you use this prakriya? You cannot distinguish this knower from the known. Unless you distinguish the knower from the known, you cannot know that knower is the reality, and the reality is of the nature of knowing. Is it clear? You have to now say, why does reality know? And now you arrive at the reality. Jnanam. And it is this reality obtaining as the knower subjective knowledge which is of the nature of knowing, therefore implied by the term jnanam, is the truth of I. This is where I must be identified with. I must be identified with this knowledge. Reality. ke wave form should be resolved in water. Similarly, I must be resolved in reality, knowledge, pure knowledge. Otherwise, we can use the word consciousness. Okay? I, the knower, and consciousness, pure consciousness. I'm adding adjective, pure consciousness. Pure knowledge. Now tell me, you're all with me. Are you all with me? You have, Shastram has helped you. This methodology has helped you distinguish the knower from the known. There's no knower other than I, and I the knower and consciousness reality. Okay? Arrived. Can you describe consciousness? You can only arrive at it. You have no consciousness, you arrive at how, as an object or not. Consciousness, you arrive at not as an object of knowledge, but as the very swarupam of the knower, as the truth of the knower. Is it clear? When I say truth of the illuminatory light, what does it mean? The truth of the illuminatory light, if I say, without the light, there cannot be illuminator. Similarly, without the reality, there cannot be knower. Therefore, reality is the truth of the knower. Now, you arrived at the reality not as an object of knowledge, but as the truth of the knower. Do you see that? You have to see right now. It must be clear right now, not afterwards. This is Vedanta. We don't need any notebook or writing or reading here. What I'm saying, you have to see right now. There's no knower other than reality. When you have negated the whole world, including your body, mind, and complex as object of knowledge, what cannot be negated is the knower, the subject of knowledge, I. And that I, the knower, I has to be resolved in knower, knower is resolved in reality. And the reality is of the nature of knowing, therefore it is implied by the term jnanam, the consciousness. How have you arrived at the reality? As an object of knowledge, as object of experience, or subject, as truth of the experiencer? How have you arrived at it? You have arrived at it as the truth of the experiencer, knower, not as an object of knowledge. Okay? I have to teach you here later on the shloka, that the mantra. That is why I am making it very clear. The mantra just tells and goes, you have to understand himself. No. It must be very clear. No. We can never arrive at reality as an object of knowledge. Reality is available for recognition only as the truth of the I, the knower, the subject. Okay, that one fact is very clear. Second fact, you saw it's called analyzing. Okay, now tell me, what is the form of the reality? What form? What is the form? Sound form, smell form, taste form, light form. இப்படி கம் அண்ட் டெல் ஐ மெடிடேட் அண்ட் சம் சம் ஃபிளாஷ் கம்ஸ். Must be very clear now. It is a proof for you. Right now it must be clear. Is reality light? Is it light? No. So no colors, huh? How confusing when people come and tell lots of things. What is the form? No form. What is the attribute? So reality, you first stumble upon it, arrive at it in terms of its nature of knowing as a swarupam of the knower. Now you see reality is of the nature of formlessness, attributelessness, arupaha, okay, nirgunaha. I'm going one by word. What is the attribute? Nirgunaha, arupaha. And the knower is distinct from any object of knowledge. What about time? Where is time? Where is time factor? Time is known to you, or time knows you? Time is known. Are you 100% convinced? Time is an object of knowledge. Time has no form. We don't know when time begins. Isn't it? But time factor is object of knowledge. Therefore, knower is distinct from the known. Known does not have independent existence outside of the knower. The known cannot be without the knower. Can the known be there without the knower? Existence of the known is dependent on existence of the knower. Okay, therefore the truth of the known is the knower. Why? The known does not have independent existence of its own without the knower. The known is dependent on the knower for its very existence. Therefore, the truth of the known is the knower. And who is the knower? Reality. What is it, reality? Knowledge, consciousness. How do you give the name consciousness? Because it is of the reality is of the nature of consciousness. Being conscious is its nature. Knowing is its nature. Therefore, no? Say what? That reality is the truth of anything known. The truth of anything known is the knower, means the knower is consciousness. The truth of known is consciousness. But what about time? Time is known, therefore the truth of the time is also consciousness. Consciousness is not dependent on time. But the time is dependent on consciousness for its very existence. Is it clear? Therefore, consciousness is free from time limitation. Consciousness is of the nature of timelessness. therefore nityaha. One by one, every word has to become very clear. Now come to next important one thing. Space. Deshaha. Where does space begin? Where does it end? Space is spatially limitless. There's no place where space is not. Avakasha Pradata. Space is all accommodative. All the forms, names and functions, all other elements and the elementals, nothing exists outside of space. Space is spatially limitless from the standpoint of everything else. But where does space exist? Where does time exist? Time doesn't exist outside of the knower, consciousness. Space doesn't exist outside of the knower. Space is also object of knowledge. Please be with me. Don't go anywhere else. Come back. I'm sure you're all with me. I make sure you're with me. I am with myself. Now, I'm not with you. I'm with myself. So where is the space? Where does the space exist? Space is also object of knowledge. Space is known to you. Therefore, the truth of space also is what? Consciousness. When there is no time, no space, no world, no forms, names and functions, no experiences, in deep sleep state, when you are not knowing your own existence, not knowing the existence of the world, when you are in deep sleep state, does time exist in sleep? Does space exist in sleep? Does pain and pleasure exist in sleep? Nothing exists. You will say nothing exists, but you are. In sleep, you alone are. How you are? Knowing. Not knowing your existence, not knowing the existence of world. You are there knowing ignorance. Knowing your not knowing your own existence, knowing your not knowing the existence of the world. Okay? Knowing the time being not there, knowing the space being not there, knowing the world being not there. Knowing, not knowing your own existence, you are there. Okay? When the time is not, who is there? You are. When the space is not, who is there? You are. When the world is not, who is there? You are. When you wake up from sleep, time is, space is, world is, you are. Knowing the existence of the world, existence of time, existence of space. When they're all not there, you are still there, knowing time being not there, space being not there. It means you are always there. Time comes and goes, space comes and goes, but you are, you. Time and space as objects of knowledge come and go. You fall asleep, time goes, space goes, world disappears. When you are awake, time comes back, world comes back. Time, space and the entire world which exists within the realm of time and space comes and goes, but you are always there. Knowing the arrival and departure of time and space and the world, and that you the knower, you are the knower. Distinct from the known states of experience, you are, knower is reality implied with the term Atma. The consciousness, knowledge is of the nature of timelessness, is free from time limitation, is free from spatial limitation also. Consciousness has no spatial limitation. Consciousness has no time limitation. The reality is of the nature of limitlessness in terms of time and space. Kalataha aparichinnam, deshataha aparichinnam. Now I tell you, any known object, every object here, including your mind, including the eyesense, including all your thoughts, emotions, your subtle aspects, the physical body, including your body, mind, sense complex, entire objective universe, everything here exists, nothing exists outside of awareness. For the truth of every known, anything known is the knower consciousness. No object has independent existence outside of the knower, means no known object has existence. Even the unknown also, unknown or the known, doesn't have existence independently outside of the knower. Therefore, truth of every known is the knower consciousness. Just as whether this mic or that mic, that recorder or a window or a door or this table, or even nothing exists outside of the light. No opaque thing is outside of the illuminator light. Is it clear? That no object of knowledge, no known or unknown, no object exists outside of the knower consciousness. Therefore, existence of anything known is not outside of the knower, means every object is knower consciousness. Okay? Every object is consciousness. Now, mic is different from this one. This is different from this one. This is different from this object. This is different from this. Every object is, form is different, name is different, function is different, purpose it serves is different. Every object being different from every other object is being limited by the object. So every object is subject to time limitation. Every object is subject to spatial limitation. It is here, it is not there. Every object is subject to object limitation. Why? Every object is limited by every other object being different from the other object. But knower consciousness, every object is knower consciousness. Okay? Known or unknown is non-different, non-separate. Everything is knower consciousness. Nothing exists outside of consciousness. Nothing has independent existence. Therefore, consciousness is not different from anything. No object can limit consciousness, but consciousness is free from object limitation also. Therefore, consciousness is objectless, limitless. That is why these three limitations are not there. Time limitation is not there. spatial imitation is not there, object imitation is not there, therefore consciousness, the reality which you arrived at in terms of its nature of consciousness, knowledge, is implied by the term Atma, is of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, it is Anantaha, Arupaha, Nityaha, Sarvagataha, Anantaha. Sarvagataha, all pervasive. How consciousness pervades everything as pure knowledge. Okay? And it is this reality which you arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing is implied by the term Atma. And how many knowers are there? How many knowers are there? In me one, in you one, in her one, in him one. It looks like that. It looks like that. Really speaking, the knower obtaining in every mind is one and the only same reality. Okay? The knower in every mind is one and the same reality. Therefore, reality is one, Atma is one. How many knowers are there? The known minds are many. That's why difference in, suppose what she knows, I do not know. What I know, she may not know. What all of us know, lots of things what you know, I may not know, she may not know, he may not know. This difference in what we know, what we do not know is based on our minds. She knows medicine, I have no knowledge of medicine. How the knower is the same, why can't we know everything? The knower is the same, but the difference in knowledge is what we know. That is difference is the mind, instrument of knowledge. That's a different topic, we'll see later on. But now it must be very clear, there are not many knowers. There's only knower. This way, the first person singular pronoun, I, is used by every individual to refer to one's own self. And the content of I in everyone, is one and the same truth. The knower is one. How many knowers are there? The known minds are many. From the standpoint of the minds where there is manifestation, it seems to be many. Really speaking, the knower of all the minds, the reality obtaining as the knower in every mind is one and the only same reality. The knower is one. The knower in you, knower in her, knower in me, knower in anybody is the same reality. But the knower is one. Known minds are many. Known bodies are many. Known world is many things. The knower is one. Ekaha. Atma Ekaha. I had to go to the mantra. Starts with the first arupaha kṛtam bara, okay, arupaha nityaha sarvagataha anantaha nirgunaha, is it already nirgunaha? No, ekaha. You are really, this is the only way you can understand the swarupam of Atma, I. Why is the essential nature? Because subtlest. Anything known is gross. What is subtler than the subtlest? Mind is subtle. Mind also is inexplicable. Subtle, subtle. What is subtler than the mind is the subtlest. There is nothing which is subtler than the subtlest. The reality implied by the term Atma is the subtlest. What is beyond Atma? Beyond, we come here, isn't it? Your negated body as anatma, non-self, known. Your negated sense organs as anatma, non-self, known. Organs of actions, physiological functions, thoughts, emotions. Okay, mind as a whole, we just negated quickly. It won't take much time. We arrive at the knower. And we search for who the knower is. And there is a knower. And the knower is only a name given to the reality. And that reality is of the nature of knowing. That is why it knows. Not an action. Knowing is not an action. It's a swarupam. Like how illumining is not an action on the part of the sun. It is the swarupam. Knowing is the swarupam. Nature. Jnanasurupaha Atma. Jnanasurupaha. So knower is one. Now tell me, if Atma is the truth of the entire objective Anatma Prapanchaha. Atma is the truth of the entire anatma prapanchaha. Atma is the reality which lends existence to the entire anatma prapanchaha, including time and space. Therefore, Atma is the truth, anatma is mithya. Atma exists independent of the anatma, but anatma does not exist independent of the atma. Therefore, atma satyam, anatma mithya. Anatma is what? Anything other than the knower is anatma. Even knower status is mithya. The reality alone, Atma alone is satyam. Okay? And the satyam, mithya does not exist outside of the Atma. Satyam, satyatma. Doesn't have independent existence outside of the Atma. There, which means, truth pervades, Atma pervades the Anatma. Okay? What should the Atma truth do to pervade the Anatma? What should the water do to pervade the entire ocean? Work very hard, meditate. Being the truth itself is enough to be pervasive. So all pervasiveness is the nature of the Atma. Okay? Come back. Don't think I have not gone to the verse. Without telling, making you understand all these things, if I go to the verse, I got to only read the translation. And what am I doing? You can do it yourself, reading translations. This is what we are going to see in all five verses. Just seeing yourself, Atma Darshanam. Now, the following, until I finish our five more verses, we will be having vision of the Atma. Atma Darshanam, Atma Sakshakaraha, Bhagavat Swarupa Sakshakara will be the class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. Your eye sense is being forcefully dragged from body to sense organs to consciousness. No, eye sense is dragged. Not physically dragging, intellectually they are dragging. Okay, we'll see later. Questions?
If I use the therapeutic method to know what I am, if I see I am not this, you know, and use the same method to know, or yeah, to see that I am not this body, why is it so difficult to know what I am? If I see this, it's easy to know I am not this. And if I use the same method, I can see I am not the body because I can observe the body and observe the mind. Why is it so difficult to know really what I am? If I know that I am not the body, I am not the mind, why I cannot experience that I am the self?
Yeah, you cannot experience because you are the very experiencer. You can only understand yourself being obtained as the experiencer. You cannot experience yourself. You don't need to experience. Anything other than yourself can be experienced by you because you are the experiencer. What can be experienced must be, isn't it? No, you are the experiencer. Yourself being experiencer, you need not be experienced.
But how can I realize that?
That's why you don't need to realize. That is why the whole teaching is for unfolds. Whole teaching is for you. The whole teaching just has begun for you to see. You have just started seeing. Now you have to be patiently be in the class to continue to see, repeatedly you have to see what you are. The problem is, as soon as it is said, oh, it's very clear, body, I'm not the body. What can I do? How can I know myself? How can I experience? No, you cannot know yourself. You cannot experience yourself. Okay? You only have to take ownership of what you are. People want to realize. There is no realization here. There is no objectification. You cannot, there is no even, you are not, you cannot be experienced. Okay? Because you are the very experiencer of everything experienced. Okay? That's why it's complete. Why the Shastra, Vedanta Shastra? And to know anything other than you, if you can use any other means of knowledge, you are the knower. Who can employ, use the instruments of knowledge to know anything other than yourself. But to know what you are, okay, you cannot use any other instrument of knowledge because you are not an object of knowledge. You are the very knower. That is why, how can I experience myself? The very question itself is not necessary. I'm not great. You can ask the question. I'm just explaining to you. Because you are the very experiencer. Yourself being the experiencer, why do you want to experience yourself? You only should ask the question, who am I? The experiencer. Is it clear? That will help you. What am I? The experiencer. You can never become an object of experience. Sorry. That is how Shruti tells, okay baby, no baby. Shruti mata na, mother. Tells, no baby, you can never know yourself. Let me help you. Just discover what you are. Shruti mother. Mom. Pampering mother. Really, you must enjoy the warmth the mother can give. Then you will never leave Shruti. You will notice, no, kids going and always, when mothers are sitting, the kids go and sit near the mom. And always they lean like this. You noticed? You noticed, no? They never sit like this. If mother sits next to them, always children slowly they lean like this. Because they feel comfort. Let that for us only mother now at this age is Shruti. You can't physically lean, but you can emotionally lean. For emotional leaning, Shruti Mata. And after some time, when she helps you discover what you are, when she helps you to take over, take ownership of what your nature is, then she'll come and shut up, stay away. You can't lean on me anymore. She'll help you to be independent. She won't say that, I'm just saying.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.
May Bhagavati, Parashakti, Brahmashruti, Mata bless all of us with a clear vision. May this month's time that we spend together bless us with the abundance of clarity.